Thursday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And not having any success. I know last week when we had Jeff Deal on, it wasn't easy to get through to him. And when we did, it was very, very noisy on the floor of the Republican National Convention, which was in Cleveland. And Larry, I got number one guy here in Larry Nelson. Of course, don't forget to tune into Larry the middays from 10 to 2. And joining us on the phone line is Kerry Rodriguez. She is in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. Kerry, how are you?
Hi, how are you? It's so nice to be with you.
It's nice to be with you. I also have, from our newsroom, we have Jeffrey Morrissey. Jeffrey is a Democrat. He's also someone who reports on a lot of things that we have going on in and around the South Shore. So he may ask a few questions in regards to the activity and the things that are going on down there in Philadelphia for the next couple of days.
Sounds great.
All right. So what has it been like the past 12 hours since you've landed and been walking around and kind of getting a feel of the buzz for the convention?
Well, I'll tell you, the buzz for the convention actually started as soon as I got to Logan, because I was on the same plane with a lot of excellent Democrats from Massachusetts, including our Attorney General, Maura Healey, Representative Ruth Balzer, Kay Khan, a number of my fellow members of the Democratic State Committee. And so we just started having fun about 12:30 yesterday afternoon and haven't stopped since. The energy has been excellent, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's messy, it's sloppy, it's democracy. We have people having a very vibrant debate in the halls and on the streets, and you know, that's what makes our party wonderful, and that's how we do our work.
What's something that has caught your ear in regards to some of the democracy as it's happening down there in Philadelphia?
Well, there's a lot of concern over some of the platform issues and making sure that everybody is heard and has a voice. There's obviously, you know, especially our folks from Massachusetts, we have a split delegation with a lot of supporters from folks who are supporting Bernie Sanders, a lot of folks who are supporting Hillary Clinton. So definitely, you know, having a conversation about what a revolution looks like and how we can incorporate these two visions so that, you know, when we come through this vibrant discussion that we're having, we have a party that's really focused and is fired up and ready to beat Donald Trump's butt.
What is your role there other than being a supporter of the party? I know that you wear so many hats. I wasn't able to name them off other than the key one that you are a member of the Democratic Democratic State Committee. Are you also a delegate?
I'm not this year. I am an honored guest. So I am an observer. There was, you know, because we do have a split delegation, I am a proud Hillary Clinton supporter. Only certain number of slots for Clinton supporters this year. So I kind of held back. There are some people who I thought would be best representing Massachusetts in that role. So I'm down here as a guest and a helper. And I chair the Women's Caucus for the state party and serve on the executive committee of the Mass Dems. So there's a number of different roles that I fill down here in terms of supporting our delegates and making sure that they're having an excellent experience and they're able to kind of fulfill their roles and have a great time while feeling very supportive and free to express their opinions and do the important work that we need to do here, which is creating our party platform and a vision for every voter in the United States in terms of where we want to take the country in the next 4 years.
Jeffrey?
Hi, nice to meet you, Kerry. I just had a quick question. Tonight has been sort of Massachusetts night and also progressive night. Senator Sanders is speaking along with Senator Warren. What do you think, with Senator Warren endorsing Hillary Clinton but also being towards the more progressive wing of the party, what does she need to say tonight in her primetime speech to sort of unite the party?
You know, yeah, I have to start off by saying that this is Massachusetts night. In the next hour, I am actually I'm leaving the Kimmel Center. I am going over to the Wells Fargo Center to be on the floor to make sure I'm there when our mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, takes the floor, which should be about 7:35 tonight. Mm. We're very excited for that. It looks like Bernie Sanders is going to be speaking. I believe it's Michelle Obama who speaks about 9:45. Yep. Then you have Bernie Sanders. You have Joe Kennedy introducing Elizabeth Warren. It's just going to be an absolutely incredible evening for Massachusetts to really be front and center. And I think all of us as Democrats should be incredibly proud because our state really leads this party. And because we are such a progressive state and we do provide such inspiration for other Democrats across the country. So it's a huge point of pride tonight to be a Massachusetts Democrat and to be on the floor. It's just going to, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now, what an exciting night it's going to be. In terms of Elizabeth Warren, I mean, you just have to be incredibly proud of the fact that she tells it like it is. She stands up for our Massachusetts ideals and really represents us so well. And I think that she sees the big picture here. And I think what Bernie Sanders and his supporters have been able to do is really focus the party on making sure that we hold true to what our ideals as Democrats are and pushing us to be more progressive and pushing us to be more inclusive and to have real conversations about where problems are in our party and where we need to do better and how we can do better, just to make sure that, you know, while we're holding Republican feet to the fire, that we're making sure we're holding ourselves accountable too. So I think, you know, what she's going to be able to do is kind of talk about how, you know, we've spent a lot of time having conversations here, and you'll see it. It's a messy process in our committees where we have very real conversations. This is not surface, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we believe in, we want great schools. Well, we dig into those issues, and we really define what great schools are and how we're going to have better education for kids or how we're going to address climate change or how we're going to have a progressive tax policy. We get very specific and into the weeds. So we've done a lot of that work. And I think what Elizabeth Warren is going to be able to do tonight is kind of talk about how we take that plan and put it into action and how we continue to grow and challenge ourselves as Democrats to continue to be innovative and push our country to being more fair and being more inclusive and diverse and considerate of all perspectives. So I think she has that ability to speak truth to all of us and inspire all of us to come together to really keep our focus on the fact that, you know, in the big picture, we're all on the same team. We had a good knockdown, drag out fight, but it's a family fight. And now we've got to keep our eyes on the prize to make sure that the progress we've seen under President Barack Obama continues over the next 4 years with Hillary Clinton.
We look at last week's RNC, and the message of the Republicans was America first. How do the Democrats counter what the Republicans put out for a mantra for their platform?
Well, I would challenge you on that because I don't think it was America first. I think it was me first. That's Ooh. What I was hearing.
Ooh.
I was hearing me first, me first, me first. I'm great. I'm wonderful. Vote for me, Donald Trump, and everything's going to be great without even defining what great actually is. So I think that, you know, it's going to be different because as Democrats, you know, we're adults in the room. We understand what it takes to run a country. And we're going to get very specific on the issues and articulate what our vision is for the next 4 years. She didn't see that in the Republican convention. All you saw was a lot of bluster and conjecture, unfortunately.
Jeffrey?
Carrie, what issue do you think that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton need to capitalize on, something that President Obama did, an accomplishment of his, to really say this is why we need 4 more years? What piece of progress that he made do you think is something that Democrats really need to make a point to defend over the next couple
days? What wouldn't we? You know, I mean, take a look at unemployment. We have the lowest unemployment rate in generations. I mean, we could start there. Take a look at the economy. Take a look at the stock market. Take a look at education. And we've seen the implementation of President Obama's larger vision for education implemented right in our state and how we've thrust into the number one position in the entire country by using a lot of the ideas that were first brought forward by the Obama administration. So I think we've got a winning record. And there's not a lot that, you know, you can say and point to in the past 8 years and say this was an absolute failure. I think we've made progress on all fronts, and that's why people are excited to continue that trajectory forward.
Again, we're speaking with Kerry Rodriguez. She is a state committee member for the Democrats down in Philadelphia as the Democratic National Convention kicks off today, or kicked off today. They've gaveled it into session, and it's all forward. I guess I want to ask, you look at the layout. We already talked about Michelle Obama. We're going to see Elizabeth Warren. She'll be there. She'll be talking. Tuesday, we'll see the former president, Bill Clinton. He'll be up at the microphone. And then Wednesday, it's the vice president and president, followed by Tuesday, almost like a counter to Ivanka and Donald Trump. You have Chelsea and Hillary. Of those speakers, who are you looking forward to hearing from and hearing what substance they have to offer the party?
Oh, I'm really excited. I think we have a lot of really serious, very thoughtful, very inspiring and energetic speakers. You're not going to see Antonio Sabato Jr. or the Democratic version getting up and taking up airtime at the Democratic National Convention, because you know we're going to run a party. We are going to run a convention this week that talks about our vision for the next 4 years, and there's a lot at stake. Addressing issues of income inequality, making sure that our schools are improving and we're overcoming the achievement gap, that we're addressing some of the major issues we have around race in this country. This is not playtime. You know, the Democrats came here to come down to get down to business and really talk about a very serious plan of how we are going to move this country forward. We're not going to dance around and, you know, say the word great 800 times and not really define any plan for what we're going to do. We're going to articulate that vision and be very specific about it. So I'm excited about seeing, our vice presidential candidate. I think, I'm very excited as a Catholic Dem myself to have a Catholic Dem on the ticket, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear what he has to say and to learn more about his family. But everything I learn about Tim Kaine is just, it gets me more and more excited. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, of course, to have the first woman presidential candidate standing on that stage, what that means to me as a woman in this country and what it means to all of us who are women. And I think this kind of transcends politics, the fact that, we're now at a point where, we have a woman who has a real shot to be the next president of the United States. It's incredibly inspirational for not just women like me who are, in my late 30s and getting up there, but I'm thinking about all the little girls who are going to be watching her up there, and suddenly all things are possible, and that's going to be an incredible moment.
Why has it taken so long for our country to want to have a female as president? We look at our father country, the country that we all kind of descended from originally, Britain, and they've had female prime ministers. Why has it taken this long for a woman to be seen as a legitimate candidate to run this country?
Well, progress takes time. And as progressive as we are in Massachusetts, if we're frank, not everybody is as progressive. And, there still exists misogyny in this world and people who think, a woman, she's not going to be able to handle it. She's going to cry, or she's going to, run and hide and try to get a man to give her, some advice on this. And, that perception is real. Like we kind of like to think that we live in this, post-racist, post-misogynistic era. But the fact of the matter is people still hold on to some of those ideas. And we've done a lot of work in terms of challenging those ideas. I mean, in Massachusetts, we just passed pay equity. It took 87 years to get that done in Massachusetts.
Right.
Just for us to go on record saying that women should earn as much as men earn. And that's sitting on the governor's desk right now. It took 87 years to do that. So unfortunately, progress takes time. So that's why this is such an incredible historic moment. And it can't be discredited or taken away from us. This is a moment in history that, it's just something that it's so inspirational for so many of us.
Jeffrey?
One of the things that I think Senator Sanders had a great job of doing was engaging millennials and sort of making sure millennials responded well to him, either in her speech on Thursday or in the campaign trail in general. How does Hillary Clinton make sure that she reaches out to millennials, make sure that they get out to the polls in November, other than using the argument, you vote for me or you vote for Trump?
Yeah, I don't even think it's that. I think when you take a look at her track record and what she's fought for her entire life and the track record of the results and actually getting things done and what her ideals and her values are, I think that excites a lot of millennials. I mean, the story, the sexy story has been, oh, gosh, you know, people hold their nose and vote for Hillary, or there's some kind of excitement gap between Hillary supporters and Bernie supporters. But I'll tell you something. You know, there are thousands, millions of people who support Hillary Clinton and are thrilled that they're going to be able to cast their ballot in November for her. And, you know, they may not be as vocal on social media, but I'll tell you, they're there, and they're here in Philadelphia, and they're marching in the streets, and they're in the convention center. And I think what she's going to do is talk about her vision and what she plans to do and the fact that she's listened to them throughout this process and has incorporated their ideas. You know, I think that's an easy sell for her.
I want to say, Kerry, I want to thank you very much for joining us from the floor of the DNC. And if I believe you're also going to be reaching out to other media outlets. If folks want to kind of tune in to what you're doing, is there a way for folks up here in the Boston area to be able to hear you again?
Yeah, I do regular commentary for the BBC. So if you listen to your national public radio stations, you can hear me often there. I'm very, you know, frequenter of social media, so you can always follow mm-hmm. my commentation. If you go to Twitter, you can follow me as Radio Kerry. I'm also Kerry Rodriguez on Facebook. So please join me. I'll be posting lots of pictures. I'm going to go on Facebook Live tonight. So I'd love to have people join me and comment and ask me to go places and ask me questions so that I can kind of give you that behind-the-scenes look. Plus, you can look at my beautiful kids, which, you know, you'll fall in love.
There you go. And let's not forget that when we finally get you back here to the Bay State, we got to have you in studio to talk a little bit about charter schools. I know that's another realm that you really specialize in education. So we should book a date down the road somewhere to have you in and have a conversation about that.
I love it. And I'll tell you something that it's very important to me. I think it's important to a lot of folks in Massachusetts. There's, you know, 35,000 families waiting for slots in charter schools across Massachusetts. And it's very important in your area where there's, I think, upwards of 5,000 families concentrated looking for relief and wanting to, you know, make that choice and have that choice as parents to choose a public charter school if that's what they want for their children. So I look forward to that conversation.
Kerry, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to having that conversation soon.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it so much.
You got it. There she is.
Okay,
Kerry Rodriguez. Be sure to follow her on, as she said, several different social media platforms, especially, I think it was, what was it, at Radio Kerry?
At Radio Kerry on Twitter.
There you go. That's the best way to do it. We're going to kind of pop aside for a moment, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little Father Bill's and Mainspring Food Fest. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.